Victory or death!
Victory or death! Victory or death! Victory or death! Victory or death! Victory or death! Victory or death! Victory or death! Victory or death! Victory or death!
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Radio Free Virginia. I'm your host, Hank Reardon, the voice of freedom behind enemy lines here in the Commonwealth of Virginia, bringing you, the Patriots, the information you need to stay in the fight to preserve your liberty. This is episode 24-6, the sixth episode of 2024. I'm going to be talking about giving communists no quarter, and I'll explain what I mean by that in a little bit here. But I wanted to share with you some different things that I found over the little bit that I've been out. We went up to Pocahontas State Park. If you haven't experienced the Virginia State Parks, I don't know why you wouldn't have experienced this, but they're pretty awesome. They've done a great job, of building these things up over the years, and they're only $35 a night to camp. We have a travel trailer, and so we took the travel trailer up, and it was pouring down rain, got there in the dark, had to figure out how to, you know, maneuver the thing. Did okay with that, but I think I picked the steepest campground site pad and everything in the whole campground. Fortunately, in this instance, like usually you're just stuck. I mean, you go in the middle of the summer, there's no open spots. It's like, there you go. So they really should have like a how steep a spot is. Frankly, they should take that one out of the rotation for RVs altogether. They should just say no, because I couldn't get the trailer level at all. I had the stabilizers fully extended, the tongue jack fully extended, I had it up on the blocks. I mean, I had all kinds of stuff. I just finally just said, forget it. Well, it rained all the way through into middle of the day Saturday. So once the rain stopped, just called up the ranger station, said, hey, we're going to move. And they're like, no problem. Just let us know where. But it's an awesome park. A lot of trails and things, good for bike riding, a lot of mountain bike trails. But the only thing I didn't like about it was actually close to Richmond. And then you get the question from the teenagers, what are we going to do? And some of you are already answering the question or asking the question yourself when you heard me start to ask it. What are we going to do? Well, we're doing what we're going to do, which is nothing. And so we eventually did go in and go to Topgolf. And I crushed it. So that was fun. And they're not going to probably want to go to Topgolf anymore because I'm that awesome. But then, of course, we went over to Short Pump, walked around the mall a little bit. And then we came back and we just did campground stuff. It was very cold, which is fine. I don't mind the cold, but it's nice. But I've been to a lot of the state parks. I mean, you can't beat it. $35 a night. No, they only have water and electric at your campsite, so you can't dump your tanks, of course, just right there. But they have a dump station. Doesn't cost anything. Just hit it on the way out. But it makes you have to be very conservative with how you're using your tanks. But love having a travel trailer. If you've been thinking of getting one, you really should do it. Pull the trigger, get one. Of course, you need something to tow with, and that is the drawback. If you have a car, you're kind of out of luck. But if you have a truck, I've just got a Ford F-150. Tows it like it's nothing. And my truck's got a 14,000-pound towing capacity. I would never, ever recommend towing that much with it, but it does have that towing capacity. So, so let's talk about the different stuff going on. Let's start with this goofy ruling. You've heard this clown world thing going on up in Illinois. A judge ruled that a legal alien has a Second Amendment right. And VCDL has some commentary here. Federal judge in Illinois ruled that the illegal alien being tried for illegal possession of a firearm has a Second Amendment right to possess firearms. And there's been a lot of hair on fire misreading of this ruling, VCDL says. This is not a general rule that applies to all legal aliens in Illinois. It's an as-applied ruling for the particular alien being tried. But you would never know that from reading the headlines in the press. And I've heard this. I've seen this. Illegal aliens can, you know, carry guns. Wait, up in Illinois? Well, then, no hablo inglés. I mean, because, you know, regular citizens are getting tried up in Illinois and places like New York and others. So this is a local court. This isn't going to be applying to everyone in the country and stuff like this. But the gist of this article is that they'll use this as a defense. The question is, you couldn't legally buy the gun, so where did he get it? So he broke the law in that regard. If they, you know, it's just like, I don't agree with any of these laws, but if you're going to have them and they apply to me, then they sure as heck should apply to somebody who snuck across our border. It's just the clown world. We're living in clown world. That's the only thing I can think. So Pennsylvania County is, this is from Patricia Evans. She sends out a little newsletter. What has happened to Pennsylvania County? We have quickly learned we can't count on this new board of supervisors or the new county administrator to make good financial decisions. We all knew the reassessment values were ridiculously high for this area of the country, but that did not stop this new board from taking advantage of taxpayers with an excessively high tax rate while increasing their government spending. As Stuart Turtile explains in the video below, I'm not going to play it, big spenders need big taxes. They don't seem to understand fiscal responsibility. There is a war on private property and home ownership, and we see playing out in the local level. Not only do we have skyrocketing assessment values, but we also have the resulting higher property taxes, insurance premiums, and interest rates making home ownership nearly impossible for most Americans. That is the World Economic Forum's plan. We will own nothing and be happy. If you live anywhere near this, I'm sure you've heard all this. They've had numerous problems over the years with Pennsylvania County's government and sheriff and all. I mean, just it's been a mess over there for a while. And the problem is that like many counties, whether it's Campbell County or Bedford or Lynchburg or Pennsylvania, you have communists inside the Republican Party, and they're there secretly doing what communists do, and that's breaking things. And so you see it all the time. And we're very fortunate in the case of Bedford. We've been really fortunate because the local party, and when you have the Republican Party, it's actually a local group of people that runs that local party. That local party is very well run in Bedford County. It's been very well run in Campbell. I don't know if that'll stay that way. It's hard to say. There was this group called Bedford First, and there was also one called Campbell First, a bunch of communist, disaffected idiots that were just causing trouble. Eventually here's a funny history. So years and years and years ago, I was a Republican chairman in Campbell County. And I said to these people, our people, people that think like us, in the party, I said, we need to get rid of these people. We need to run them out and toss them because they're going to be a problem. They're already a problem. They've been a problem. They're going to continue to be a problem. We have to get rid of them. They don't align with the Republican creed. They don't believe what we believe. They are communists. And everyone says, now we have a big tent and all this other stupid defense of it. And I said, okay. I stopped being a Republican chairman, moved out of the county. And sure enough, these people staged a coup. They took over for a while. The other side took it back. They caused problems. Eventually, they were all run out and kicked out. But it took 4 or 5 years of back and forth. And these people are scum. They're scum. There's no other word for it. They're scum. And they should have been thrown out because they're communists. Communists deserve no quarter. And that is the main thing I'm going to be talking about today. But over in Pennsylvania County, they've been having this problem for a while. And so what we have is we have all this stuff going on where inflation is affecting local government too. So they're looking at this going, well, how do we pay? We have to pay our people more because of inflation. And we have to pay more for supplies and equipment, and we want to get these cameras put up, and they cost twice as much as they did 5 years ago. I mean, what do we do? I know, let's just not lower taxes, or let's raise taxes in the case of this crazy stuff going on here. Let's spend. We have money. Let's spend it. And you know, you run into problems. I understand that we have inflation, but I don't see why when I have to tighten my belt, when I have to make do with less. Government never has to make do with less. And that's what most of us are sick of. We're sick and tired of hearing, well, we need this. Well, I need it. Where's my tax break and my tax cut? Oh, no, we can't have that. So hopefully Yeah, I mean, and it was like this stuff's going on in counties all across the state, all across the Commonwealth. Your county is dealing with exactly the same thing. Whether it's one of those communist counties like Charlottesville, or, well, I want to say Lynchburg, because Lynchburg's technically controlled by Republicans, but there's enough communists in charge that they've screwed everything up. And so, yeah, you know, now they're going to they're spending all this money on like solar trash cans and all this other stupid stuff. And they can just never say no. They just can't say no. Oh, we're not going to. No, we're not doing that. Get a private organization together and do it. If you don't like it, tough luck. Now they're going to shut down a whole other section of Main Street as they work on it and make it pretty. You know, I'm sure the businesses love that. Sure, I love that when I'm going down that way. Oh, this is great. You know, I had to detour around all this nonsense. So they can put pretty brick nonsense in the middle of the road, which eventually breaks down to being a horrible experience driving over. But sure, you know, go right ahead. Keep it up. I hate communists. Speaking of, I want to play this clip for you. Oh, nothing's really changed on the gun rights front. A lot of those bills are still sitting there. They haven't been vetoed. Governor Youngkin has vetoed a bunch of stuff. And there were a bunch of bills the Democrats put forward that would actually make it, you know, soft on crime stuff. He vetoed all those. Ha ha, Democrats. This out from VCDL, it just says, let's see, who wrote this? It doesn't actually say who wrote it. It's been a busy, extremely busy start to the new year in these first couple months, with the state Democrats leading the rush to trample Virginia's gun rights with a long list of anti-gun bills they hope to see signed into law. Fortunately, it looks like Governor Glenn Youngkin will veto most, if not all, the bills, but we can't rest in knowing this. Indeed, Youngkin won't be governor forever, and the Democrat-led state House and Senate will continue to push anti-gun legislation at every turn. Imagine if we had a Democrat for governor right now. Think about that. You know, the battle to protect our rights is a never-ending one, and the next elections are something we need to be thinking about now. And he goes on. But if you're not a member of VCDL, you should check it out. If gun rights, if your right to defend yourself, if your right to own the tools that would defeat a tyrannical government are something that's important to you, then you need to join VCDL, because they're the ones fighting on the ground for your rights. Now, that doesn't do much good if we don't have politicians up there that have balls that would actually do something. I talked about it, I think, 2-3 episodes back, where the ratio is 2-1. They're putting forward two anti-gun bills for every one positive gun bill that we're putting forward. And this is almost always the case. Even when they're not in control, they do the same thing. We have a bunch of cowards that refuse to fight up there. I'm a Southern gentleman. Oh, my esteemed colleague on the other side of the aisle. No, don't be nice to these people. Oh my gosh. So next I'm going to play a little clip here, and then I'm going to talk about a few different things. Communism. But here we go.
Did you know that Joseph Stalin, Margaret Sanger, Adolf Hitler, Mussolini, Mao Zedong shed more innocent blood in the 20th century alone than all the murderers, warlords, and tyrants of the previous history combined?
Yeah, that's a fact.
More innocent blood was spilled in a 100-year period by five men and their ideology, mm-hmm, and a woman than all of human history before the year 1900 combined. And they tell you Christian nationalism is the great threat to our democracy. Really? No. Secular globalism, secular humanism, neo-Malthusianism, Darwinism, call it whatever you want to call it, that's the only real true threat to our democracy. And if you believe that humans are essentially good, and that you can essentially trust people to rule over you, you're a fool. And you do not know your history.
Good stuff. I believe that was Charlie Kirk. Maybe I'm wrong. Let me see. Let's see. Yeah. Well, it's coming up on a page called The White Rose, but it looks like Charlie Kirk. Anyway, all the people that have ever died before the year 1900 that were murdered, sorry, not died, that were murdered, the communists killed more of them in a 100-year period than the previous all of history. War, tyranny, murder, all of it. These five people. And yeah, he's putting in Margaret Sanger because she's the, you know, founder of Planned Parenthood, who wanted to eradicate the human weeds. That's not racist at all, right? She's talking about black people. So that's history. And this is what amazes me about history. I'm going to talk here. I'm going to share a clip of it. But before I do, Christian Hines is one of the guys that contributes to making the argument. And he wrote on X, and I'm going to share a clip where he talks about this. Progressivism is foundationally about giving privileges to low-status people. How and why they got there does not matter. All low-status groups are eligible for elevation to sacredness under this ideology. This is because progressives don't actually believe things on the basis of whether they are true or not. They believe things on basis of whether they would hurt people's feelings. And pointing out the reasons why some people are low-status and some are not is one of the easiest ways to hurt people's feelings. As a result, it is inevitable that all low-status people are elevated to sacredness because the progressive validation train has no brakes. I love that. Because there is always an even lower low status person or group out there to champion. As a result, progressives are in a constant arms race with themselves to see who can validate the most degenerate, depraved, and dysfunctional elements of society. So he talks about this over here on their podcast, which I pulled up on YouTube, and they have a really nice studio. It's much nicer than mine. They also have more followers, but let me play this for you, and I'll talk about it.
That's the point, right? It is they end up being the reason why somebody else does it, especially once you've convinced them that if they don't do it, if they don't put down their political enemies, they're going to commit acts of genocide against them, right? There's a reason why nobody gets mad when you punch a Nazi.
Yeah, remember the rhetoric that I said earlier, that the left gets upset when somebody uses, including one of their own, uses the term illegal alien to describe an illegal alien, but they have no problems calling, you know, remember the episode we did on rural white rage
and white Christian rural
nationalism?
Rage.
They have no problem throwing around those labels to somebody like Nick because he lives in rural Virginia. He has a rural white rage problem. They have no problem calling us fascists. They have no problem calling us Nazis.
And then the latest,
we're threats to democracy.
That's
right?
The latest, right? You are a threat to democracy. It is one thing to say, I believe you're wrong. It is one thing to say that I believe your policies are incorrect. It's one thing to even say, I think your policies are hurting people. It is something very different to say you are a threat to democracy. Well, what do you do with threats? You remove them. You re-educate them. Right.
And if that doesn't work, you put them down.
So, so the idea is that, no, I'm sorry. Nobody gets to tell me that an intellectual groundwork is not being laid in order to justify aggressive violence, because to them it will seem defensive.
Right.
I didn't want to do this. You forced. All we asked was for you to respect our pronouns, our right to exist. And you said no. And so now there needs to be consequences. And the consequences start off with being deplatformed. Or having your bank, you know, account frozen. That's how it starts, right? Then it starts with you going to jail, or then it you know, proceeds to you going to jail. And if all of that doesn't work to get you in line, to re-educate you so that now you're as tolerant and accepting as we are, well, then what happens after that? That's
the penalty for treason. Nick.
That's not an unreasonable question, because we've seen what these leftist movements have done throughout history. We've seen what totalitarian and authoritarian movements have done throughout history, regardless of what their political motivation was.
So why do they lose? If they win, you're starting with the, you know, because we hinted that there's like four outcomes, right? The first one is they win. So how could they lose if they win?
I don't think the woke can actually win, in the sense that all of a sudden you have a bunch of people that, you know, essentially have no real grasp on reality, right? The world is not going to be run by people suffering from gender dysphoria who lose their crap when you mispronounce their name at Starbucks, right? That person is never going to rule. Right? The person is never going to be in charge. They're just not. They can't be, because society collapses, right? They're too busy being a professional victim to actually be able to attain that. Now, there's other people that will utilize or associate with those movements.
Wait, if you're getting to the second one, I've got something that I want to read off to you first.
So just I'm not going to the second one.
Okay.
Who are capable within that group, who are willing to utilize it, but don't actually, you know, believe it to the same intensity, or still understands that the train's got to run on time, right? But ultimately, what we think of as like kind of the picture in our mind of, again, the blue-haired person sitting in their car doing a TikTok about how hard it is to exist because somebody misgendered them. That person doesn't run anything ever. Sorry. That person will spend their entire existence either in that category as someone that can be used and manipulated to achieve somebody else's political purpose, but they're never going to get the reality that they want because it doesn't exist. And because they're completely incapable of actually doing what would be necessary to seize the means of production, right? That's never going to be them.
So basically, in a battle between delusional ideas and reality, reality wins every time. It might take a while, but reality.
Yeah, it may take
win.
A while, but it will always win. And again, they will never possess the ability to ultimately what seizing power requires is the ability to actually use physical force. And guess what you need for that in most cases? Men willing to fight. How many young men do you know willing to die for the banner of wokeism?
I think it was Rudyard that once said, ask any, you know, military age male in the United States who are like almost universally condemned, especially if they're white. But even if they're not, like how many military age men, young men, are like, they're like the number one target of the left. How many of those people are willing to go die? And I think he used the phrase like, you know, for genderqueer, you know, youth, like, or are you willing to go out there and die for, you know, honor and glory and your family and stuff like that? And the point that he was trying to make, and I think he said this, maybe it was in his right wing backlash video, but I can't remember where he made it. But the point that he was trying to make is that the type of people that can end up seizing power or cementing power are the exact type of people that the left have been calling oppressors.
Yeah.
And so the math doesn't actually really kind of work out there.
Oh no, the math isn't math. Okay, in a grandiose battle for seizing power between a bunch of blue-haired, you know, feminists, blue-haired fourth wave feminists, and 23-year-old males, the 23-year-old males win. Sorry, that's just reality. How do we know? Well, we have this thing called history. You know, going back for, you know, 10,000 years of recorded human history, and it turns out the fourth wave feminists don't win.
So, you know what I think would happen with the whole scenario one here, with the whole woke winning, but they don't actually win, they actually lose by winning, is that...
This is for the fighter. Building, working, hunting, harvesting, protecting.
It's not that they win and then lose. It's that they get their way until they break something.
Yes.
And then they lose because they have broken something. Yeah. I have something that I want to read off to you because I think it'll feed into the other three scenarios here and also explain why scenario one is impossible for them to win. Even if they quote unquote win, they still lose. And it's a bit long, so I'm going to probably try to skip around a little bit. But I wrote this a couple months ago, and I didn't really think at the time that, well, we weren't planning for this podcast, but like I never really thought that it was applicable to what we were talking about until literally right now. And I remembered, I'm like, oh man, I need to get Nick's take on this because I don't think you've ever actually read this or heard this. Here's what I had to say. I said, progressivism is foundationally about giving privileges to low status people. And then I go on to say how they got there doesn't actually matter because there's plenty of people that become low status because they make terrible decisions in life.
Uh-huh.
And then there's some people that they're handed a terrible, you know, deck of cards from the beginning. But how they got to low status, whether or not it's deserved through their own terrible decisions, or again, because they were handed a terrible deck of
legitimate
cards,
victims of circumstances beyond their control.
How they got there does not matter. All low status groups are eligible to elevation to sacredness under this ideology of progressivism. This is because progressives don't actually believe things on the basis of whether or not they're true. They believe things based on whether or not they would hurt people's feelings. And pointing out the reasons why some people are low status and some are not is one of the easiest ways to hurt people's feelings, right? If you point out that the reason that the homeless drug addict in San Francisco is at the bottom of the rung of the social hierarchy is, I don't know, maybe because they're a drug addict shooting up heroin on the streets. Well, that's quite offensive to progressives. And if you want another example, think about the illegal immigrant comment, right? Yeah. They weren't mad about the fact that the illegal immigrant murdered somebody. They were mad about the fact that their own guy used the phrase illegal immigrant.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, but that guy, a murderer, yeah, he's pretty low status in my book. Right. But it doesn't matter, right? Asking questions about how somebody got to, and again, there's instances where people are victims, genuine victims, right? But asking those questions, the woke left don't want to do it because it's offensive in their eyes. And they don't care about whether or not something's true. They care about whether or not something's offensive. So then I go on to say that as a result, it's inevitable that all low status people are elevated to sacredness because the progressive validation train has no brakes. So it's not about saying we're going to lift up people that are genuine victims, that are genuinely left behind through no fault of their own. They've done some, you know, they're handed a terrible deck or you know, a terrible pair of cards. It's not about that. It's about, no, we're going to elevate the murderers in society, the drug addicts in society, the people that have destroyed themselves and are at the bottom of the social hierarchy because of decisions and actions that they have willingly taken. The validation train has no brakes. It doesn't stop with legitimate grievances. It continues on.
Well, wait, let me stop you right there because I think something needs to be pointed out here.
Okay.
The person born into horrible circumstances or situation completely beyond their control, which rises above that.
Oh, they're like, even worse than the left side.
They are considered, it contradicts their entire narrative about society. Upward economic mobility, upward social mobility, that is what they are claiming does not exist, and why they need, that is the entire justification for them taking power, is because you will never be able to achieve greater social mobility or economic mobility without their help. And when someone does it without their help, right, that is that they have to suppress that. That is something that they will, like, and sometimes viciously suppress.
Look at how they treat black conservatives or Tina when she ran for office. And I want to bring this up because some of the language that I use sometimes, I see.
They go on and there's a lot of back and forth. And it's actually a really good podcast. But essentially, I'll boil it down to this. They're talking about how groups within the past, let's look at Mao had the Red Guards and Hitler had the Brown Shirts. I don't remember what Lenin had, but then Stalin came and purged those. The Red Guards were all purged. The Brown Shirts, the Knight of Long Knives, were all killed and replaced by, then in that case, the SS. So at every time you would have a bunch of troublemakers, let's call those the Antifa and the woke mob, BLM, whatever, and they're the troublemakers, and the goal for them is the revolution. So they get, you know, they create trouble. Maybe they're a little bit violent. In the cases of most in the history, they've been actually very violent. In the cases of what we've got, they're just like a bunch of looters and, you know, burning down businesses and stuff. They're not actually like what the Brown Shirts were or what even what the Red Guard is. So, but let's just, for the sake of argument, you know, say that they've got their violent group and here in America, who and what is the violent group? And that's the kind of the context of their podcast here that is going to deal with these people. Once the glorious revolution happens, when they seize the means of production, as you know, it's like the big Marxist push there. They don't have one. And my friend John said, well, we know they could just use the National Guard. They don't control the National Guard. You know, Hitler controlled and created and controlled the SS. You know, you could make the argument that those people would be dealt with by us using the National Guard. The danger there is what happens when the National Guard is done with that. And you've let them off their chain to go do stuff. And then they turn around and go, we don't really like you either. I don't see that as a possibility, but because the National Guard, especially, you know, not regular Army National Guard, those are our neighbors. Those are us. That's us. Those people think like us. I've known a ton of them. They're not the problem. So essentially the left has created this blob that continues to blob out, just like the movie, The Blob, where it's just going and absorbing people and getting bigger and bigger and bigger. And they don't have a way to stop it. So what do? Well, eventually they eat themselves is one of the concepts here. But that doesn't mean they don't do a lot of damage along the way. And so there comes a point, and when they talk about this, what if there's a far right, you know, movement to just eliminate these people? That would be the camp I'm in, by the way. I'd be okay with that. You know, snitches get stitches and communists get ditches. That's my attitude. And the reason is I look at history. I study history and I look at it and I go, there's not a time in history where we wouldn't have been better off if you just dug a bunch of ditches and put these people in it. It's crazy, I know, but that is true. You're telling me that the world wouldn't have been better off if the brown shirts hadn't just been all executed and Hitler had been wiped out? What about not Lenin and Stalin? You're telling me the world wouldn't have been better off if all the people there would have all just been executed and dumped in a ditch? How about China? You don't think China would be just infinitely better off than it is right now if Mao and all the Red Guards and all these people were just executed and put in a ditch? It would have. Is that the answer? I don't know. But I do know that history would have been a different thing if that is what had happened. The problem is you have communists within our own government and also others that have these they're weak. And they're just weak. And so I've been trying to flesh out something here in my mind about, you know, what do we do? And the title is Communists Deserve No Quarter. The military concept of no quarter is that the enemy will not be taken prisoner, but will be killed. It is an old concept. A little over 100 years ago, it was made a war crime under international law to declare that no quarter shall be given. However, communists are no more people than terrorists or child molesters are people. Look at the last 100 years and the more than 100 million people that have died as a result of communist designs on world domination. There is a time for war and a time for peace. But if there should be war and the communists once again started it, then no quarter should be given. The ideas they foster, the misery they bring, and have brought, even now, is dangerous. Like cancer, it eats away at all things till it metastasizes and kills. Now, there must be some designation between communists and liberals. Or rather, distinction. There must be some distinction between communists and liberals. We can disagree on the best way to fund roads, what the overall purpose of government is, who and how shall roads and bridges be built. This is not the question. Liberals are too stupid to realize the communists are the ones driving their party off a cliff. Or as Christian Hines on Making the Argument says, they've taken the brakes off the train. They've physically removed them. The communists would kill or enslave you. They would take your right to choose and even debate. If you don't agree, you die. If you don't work, you die. You will obey or you will die or be worked to death in some camp. In America, we are all endowed by our Creator with certain unalienable rights. Among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And it is codified in the U.S. Constitution that all states will have a republican form of government. Communism is the antithesis of this. It is unconstitutional and illegal. And anyone advocating for this form of government is a traitor and is destructive to the nation as a whole. The punishment prescribed by U.S. law for treason is death. It's that simple. Should suspected communists be hauled out into the streets and shot? No. But nor should we have some long, drawn-out process and appeals. There must be some simple tribunal method for meeting out justice, not show trials. Okay, that's not what I'm talking about here. The problem with pretending we are equals with communists, or that we should not stoop to their level, or that we have some moral equivalency with them is absurd. They would not extend this courtesy to us. But we don't want a repeat of the bloody French Revolution, right? There must be a method of determining if a person is a communist. If he openly declares he's a communist, we take him at his word. There are other ways. If a person is financially supporting communist causes, they may be a communist. You may have heard this before. There are surely ways to determine if a person is not a communist. You know, there's easy ways, actually. There's a lot of things that would point to the fact that they're just a dope, a useful idiot, maybe liberal left leanings, not communism. But we also must banish communists and liberals from positions within academia and government. Why are we funding our enemies and the institutions that are being used to foment our destruction? This must stop. Communists have one fatal flaw in the work that they have done over the past 50 years. That is their hatred for guns. They have seared in the communist and leftist minds there is nothing more evil than a scary black thing that must be melted down. All the while they have driven us to train more, acquire more, defend our liberty more. And they have no armed force to use if they even could start a revolution. This is good for us. We have the guns. They do not. And we must prepare ourselves that it may be necessary to use them. As of this writing, only 1.28 million soldiers are currently serving on active duty. Most are out of the nation on foreign bases. And the National Guard has only 325,000 members across the United States. Most are conservative and wouldn't take up arms against us. But we shouldn't assume some wouldn't. However, here in Virginia, if there's a call up for snow duty, they can't get 100% involvement. How much more would that number drop if our guardsmen neighbors were told they had to go on the hunt for armed patriots? The stats are unclear, but there are over 500 million guns in the United States, in the hands of over 85 million people. If just 10% know how to use them and have the willingness, then good luck trying to find anyone to take them. Communism failed and continues to fail. If you don't like anything about our current government, you can point to the communist philosophies. When the opportunity presents itself, communists will be given no quarter. So I'm still working out some of the details of that. And the idea that we need to have a way and a process. You can't just go, hey, I don't like that guy. He told me he voted for Biden. He must be a communist. Not necessarily. I wish it was that easy. That would be easy. Just have them, all the communists put a red flag on their door. That's easy. But it's not that easy. And then we end up with, if we do it the other way, where you do that, we end up with the French Revolution, which all the people that started the French Revolution were eventually executed, all of them. I don't think there's a one that was involved in the starting of that ended up surviving that. So, history has a way of repeating itself, and we have to be careful about that. But that doesn't change the fact that communists deserve no quarter. If we get in a shooting war here in the United States, civil war, whatever it is, there can be no turning back. Once that starts, there's no stopping it. You have to continue. And you have to, go until you can't go no more. And it's going to be a problem. It's going to be a mess. So let's check this out. Check this video out. This is actually not a video. Check out this audio here. And somebody did a mashup. And if you're Gen X, you'll know the bands. You'll know the bands that are involved in this, and you'll like it. Everyone, I tuck you in, along with sin, keep you free from sin, till the Sandman comes.
Neverland. Yeah, yeah.
That's genius. I mean, the ability to like weave those two together, two bands that I remember growing up with, Metallica. And if you've guessed the other one, yeah, it's Huey Lewis and the News. One of my favorites. And to mix those two together is pretty awesome. It was funny because in the video section of that, there's like, there's a clip of Huey Lewis just kind of like nod his head, like, this is great music. Huey's got, Meniere's disease. So he isn't performing anymore, which is a shame. Apparently Meniere's disease is like all the sounds come together to make like this staticky noise and you can't distinguish stuff, which must really suck because I think that guy, honestly, he loved performing. I've seen him in concert, I think 3 times, maybe 4. I think he'd perform till the day he died. Him and his band, phenomenal performers. Hope you like that audio. I'd like to thank Hopkins Real Estate for sponsoring this show. Adam Hopkins and his team of great real estate agents located in Forest, Virginia are here to take care of you. Whether you're looking for land, commercial property, or want to buy a house, now is a good time. I know they say, when's a good time to buy? Now. Because ultimately, it doesn't really matter. You can't really time that kind of stuff. Buy a house. You know, interest rates kind of suck right now. Buy a house. If interest rates go down, refinance. You know, but I mean, it's better renting. I mean, it is. And now's a good time to buy because you're not competing with all the other in the frenzy. So you'll see a house go on the market and it'll stay there for, you know, 30 days or so and until an offer is put on it. You don't have 5 or 6 offers coming in day 2 of when a house goes on the market. I mean, this is a situation when we bought our house. And, you know, it's very, very wild and you'll end up paying more. So right now, you know, house is listed, you can go get it. And so, something to check out. You can find them at adamhopkins.net for more information. Also look at the show notes here for information on him and his team. So one other thing is if you are, you know, want to support the show, there's a couple ways you can do it. You can just send me money. That would be awesome. But another way is to go on my website, radiofreevirginia.com. And one, you can find the show notes there. But two, you can find some shirts that I've designed. Shirts like You Were Not Made to Fit In, You Were Born to Stand Out. Homeschool, Someone Has to Raise Kids Who Aren't Communists. I like this one. Ballots, Bullets, Boxcars. that's actually one of my favorites. It says ballots or bullets or boxcars. And, it's a pretty simple, but pretty funny. And this is my favorite of all. I think if snitches get stitches, communists get ditches. Snitches and stitches don't really have anything to do with it, but it rhymed. So I thought it was funny. There's another one that, I've got on here that is about, the Pinochet regime, and Pinochet would take communists and he would throw them at a helicopter. So I've got a mouse pad here that says helicopters plus communists equal freedom. And then, finally there's a Killdozer t-shirt. Sometimes reasonable men must do unreasonable things. And it's got a picture of the Killdozer on it. And, if you've ever studied Marvin Heemeyer, I've talked about him on a podcast here, is pretty nuts. Basically, he took a bulldozer, up-armored it. I mean, how do you not know about this? Up-armored the thing and destroyed the town of Granby. I mean, just destroyed it. Destroyed all the cop cars, destroyed the town. I mean, it was nuts. And because no matter where they shot, no matter what they did, they couldn't stop the thing. Just kept on going. Pretty crazy. But, he was a little nuts. I will admit that. All right, that is going to do it for the show. Enjoy this beautiful spring weather. Get out, start planting your garden, doing the things you love to do outside now that it's warm. I like the cold, but this is nice. And remember, you were not made to fit in. You were born to stand out. I'm Hank Reardon. This is Radio Free Virginia. God bless you.